What?
2 days later, that sound jolted me out of an uneasy, thready half-trance. I rolled over, checked the clock. The cotton sheets were tangled around my legs.
I've been tossing again.
3 p.m.
Another drunken night of watching old Indiana Jones, Magi, and Father Egyptos Holovids shot to hell.
There had been a letter in the afternoon mail. An unaddressed vellum envelope with a heavy, bloodied wax seal. Even as I picked it up, I'd caught a whiff of heavy, spicy scent. Demon. My hands had moved despite myself, trembling, and torn the heavy, beautiful envelope open. Careful, scripted calligraphy marched across thick linen paper.
Dante, I would speak to you.
Signed, simply, L. As if I wouldn't know who it was from. The Prince of Hell, Lucifer himself, sending me a little note. I tried to tell myself I didn't care, tossed it in the garbage compactor, and matched Jace drink for drink. Not like it helped. I couldn't even get drunk.
Put it back.
No. Jace presented me his broad, muscled back. The scorpion tattoo on his left shoulder blade shifted uneasily, its black-edged stinger flexing. Thin lines of pale scarring traced across muscle hard as tile, marring skin that had never lost its Nuevo Rio tan. He'd collapsed on my bed for once, because the room down the hall was too far away when he was that inebriated. Besides, it was almost soothing to hear him breathing next to me while I lay and tried to sleep. Achieving at most a half-trance that tried to rest the mind and left me feeling almost as tired as when I started.
Something's up.
Instinct raced along my spine. My rings flashed. A golden spark popped from the amber cabochon on my left middle finger.
Of course something's up. Nobody would call me in the late afternoon unless something was up.
And no hollow marketer would call a register scion's number. We tended to be a bad return on that advertising dollar. Even though it was illegal to hex a normal out of spite, some of us had a nasty habit of disregarding possible legal action when it came to bloody hollow marketing jackals. It was also expensive for corporations to keep the required coverage that would bring a scion out to remove the hex. My left shoulder ached, a sudden fresh bite of coldness burning all the way down to the bone. If I touched it, I might almost feel the ropes of scar moving under my fingers. I refrained from touching it, as usual, and shifted position, rolling the shoulder in its socket as I shook the almost dream away. The phone again, and it was easily the most annoying buzz I'd heard in a long time.
Damn, whoever thought it was a good idea to plug in a phone up here.
Well, it had seemed like a good idea at the time. Which meant I was muttering imprecations at myself.
Sekhmet Sayas, what?
All things considered, it was as polite as I could get. I never use the vid capability on modern phones if I can help it. The thought of someone seeing me inside my own private house without having to get in a goddamn hover and come out just rubbed me the wrong way. Plus, if I want to answer the phone naked, it's nobody's business but mine.
Danny.
Of all the people I could identify with one word, she was at the top of the list.
Get your ass up, I need you.
I sat bolt upright, dragging the sheet away from Jace.
Hey!
He curled into a tighter ball.
Where?
She's smoking again. Bad news.
I'm at the station. How soon can you be here?
Jace, I reached over, shook Jace's shoulder. His skin was cool under mine, my lacquered fingernails scraping slightly. He woke up a little more gracefully than I did. He sat up, and as soon as he realized I was on the phone instead of under attack, he sheathed the knife he kept under his pillow. We were both jumpy. Going from bounty to bounty will do that to you.
Gabe, I'm on my way. Hang loose.
I stretched, the ligaments in my right hand cracking as I tried to spread the fingers all the way. I hadn't been dreaming, but it had been the closest I'd gotten to real sleep for a good 3 weeks. And I didn't like having it interrupted. Bounties weren't good for resting. Sleep usually meant your prey was getting away. Then again, I've always had bad dreams. The only stretch of good sleep I've ever had was when Doreen lived with me. A Sedain could tranquilize even the unruliest necromance. And that was one more thing I missed about her. The gentleness in the middle of the night when she calmed me down from a nightmare and sent me back into grateful blackness. I could count the time I'd spent with Jaframel, but we hadn't done a whole lot of sleeping. Jace slid his legs out of the bed and grabbed his jeans.
What's up now?
I was already across the room, pulling a fresh shirt off the hanger with no memory of the intervening space. I'd blinked through the room again, using inhuman speed.
Gotta stop doing that.
10 months and counting, and I still wasn't used to it. I remembered just how eerily, spookily quick Jaframel could move, and wondered if I looked the same way when my body blinked through space and my mind tried to catch up. A piece of my power, he'd said, to make me stronger, less easy to damage. If it wasn't for that gift, I might be dead now.
Lucky Danny Valentine, tougher than your average scion.
That was Gabe, at the station. She wants us there now.
Where does this weariness come from? If I don't need to sleep, why should I be tired? Do park demons need sleep?
So far, none of the Magi shadow journals or demonology books could tell me, and hunting down bounties was cutting into my research time in a big way. But research just gave me too goddamn much time to fret.
Oh, fuck.
Jay stretched, then stripped goldweed hair back from his face, yanked his shirt down, and shrugged into his assassin's rig. Oiled, supple leather, guns, knives. My own hands moved automatically. My right hand throbbed uneasily until I shook it out, joints cracking and popping. I ducked my head through the strap of my black canvas bag, but had to stop. I took another deep breath, settling the strap diagonally across my body.
Maybe it's another bounty. I hope it's another bounty. A big one, a complex one, one that'll keep me occupied with the next thing to be done and the next and the next.
It didn't matter. I jerked my coat from its hook, shrugged into it. My two main knives rode in their sheaths, the guns easy and loose in my rig. My rings popped a few golden sparks. Familiar excitement mixed with dread deep in my belly tainted the air I blew out between my teeth.
Didn't she say anything else?
Jace rubbed his face. His aura rippled, the spiky darkness of a shaman prickling the air. My own cloak of energy responded.
I mean, do I need to bring the rifle?
No. I plunged my fingers in my bag and checked for extra ammo clips. The plasgun didn't need them, but the projectile weapons did. Sunlight glowed under the edges of my bedroom blinds. I felt logy and slow, as I usually did during the day.
Just her staff. If she needed your rifle, she wouldn't have dialed. She'd have shown up personally.
Good point.
How the hell does this man sound so casually amused after drinking 3/4 of a bottle of Chivas Red?
I could still smell the sourness of his body and power metabolizing the alcohol, running through the depressant, converting the sugars. I stuffed another 2 ammo clips into my bag. It pays to be prepared.
Fuck. Oh, I think I'm still drunk, Danny.
Good. That'll keep you relaxed. Let's go.
Late afternoon sun made Jace's hair glow like a furnace. I blinked, rubbing at my eyes, and slid out of the cab while Jace finished paying the bespectacled cabbie. The man had taken a 50-credit tip to get us to the Saint City South Station in record time. My stomach was still churning. Thank the gods part demons didn't throw up often. Or at least I didn't, and I was the only one I knew of. It made sweeping generalizations a whole lot easier. I've never been a fan of sweeping generalizations, but I'm all in favor of efficiency. Jace clambered out and stood next to me as the cab lifted off and zipped into the traffic lanes, its underside glowing with hover cells and reactive paint. I took a deep breath of the stink that passed for air in Saint City, full of the effluvia of dying cells, the cloying smell of decay. My nose wanted to wrinkle.
Would you look at that?
Jace scratched at his hairline with blunt fingers. He tapped his staff once, sharply, on the sidewalk pavement. Gabrielle Spocarelli was waiting for us. She stood on the steps of the police station. A short woman, slim and graceful as a ballet dancer. Her sleek dark hair cut in a short bob that framed her classically pretty face. There was a faint shadow of crow's feet at the edges of her dark eyes, and her air of serene precision had deepened, if that was possible. A cigarette hung from the corner of her chiseled mouth, unlit.
Yep, she's not happy. If she'd lit the cigarette, it would have been different. But unlit cigarette, plus strained tense shoulders and an aura singing with blue-violet under its necromance sparkles, all add up to one very unhappy Gabrielle.
Her emerald flashed a greeting. The tattoo on her left cheek shifted slightly, inked lines running on her pale skin. My left cheek burned, the emerald flicking in response, sending an electric zing all the way down to my neck bones. Power shifted, stained the air with electricity. I approached cautiously, my right hand starting to ache. It was a normal ache, so I ignored it. She watched us both come up the steps, unmoving. Her aura flushed a deep purple red like a bruise.
Nope. Gabe is not amused.
Jace spoke from behind me.
Still as pretty as ever, Spooky. How's Eddie?
Monroe.
Gabe tilted her head slightly, the only mark of respect she'd give him. Neither she nor Eddie had forgiven Jace his treachery, his connection to the demon who had killed Doreen and damn near killed me as well. But they were civil for my sake. I'd only presided over one short, strained meeting 6 months ago, where we hashed out that nobody was going to kill anyone else and all accounts balanced. Jace hadn't known that the head of the mob family he'd run from was Vardemal Santino. And just this once, we agreed. The circumstances were extraordinary enough that Jace could get a pass. Well, Gabe and I had agreed. Eddie simply glowered and quit threatening to kill him. We were all a lot happier when just Gabe and I met at Fa Choi's once a week. Gabe's eyes cut away, as if she couldn't bear to look at him anymore.
Sends his greetings. You made good time.
What good are ill-gotten gains if you can't use them?
The sunlight blurred as my pupils reacted, squeezing down to pinpricks. That was one thing about having excellent demon vision. Bright lights were more painful than ever.
What's up? I assume you didn't call me out here to stand around chatting.
Fuck you too.
She tore the unlit cigarette out of her mouth and tossed it into the trash-laden gutter. Maybe for effect, maybe because she was too upset to remember she hadn't lit it. If it was a gesture, it was a grand one. My mouth curled up in an unwanted smile, my cheek burning as the tattoo settled again.
Come on up.
We followed her up the steps and into the police station. Old blue linoleum flecked with little sparkles squeaked underfoot. Fluorescence lit the place, sort of. They didn't have the budget for full-spectrum lights in the halls where normals worked, and I shuddered at the thought of working under that soulless light day after day. I followed Gabe's iron straight back and felt my hands shake slightly with the urge to touch a knife hilt, caress the smooth butt of a gun. It wasn't like her to be rude. It doubly wasn't like her to call and demand my presence. We met once a week, when I wasn't out chasing bad guys, had dinner, carefully didn't talk about Nuevo Rio or demons. Instead, we traded stories about bounties, bullshitted, and kept a careful distance that was as welcome as it was teeth-grindingly annoying. But I couldn't complain. The distance was there because of me, because of what I'd become. My back prickled slightly, uneasy. Fine hairs rising on my nape and the coppery tang of demon adrenaline in my mouth. I could feel it trembling on the edges of my awareness. The scorching smell of fate, like the kick of hard liquor against the back of my throat, just like a bounty. Up on the third floor, the spook squad hung out. They weren't chained in the basement like in the old days. No. Now the parapsychic arm of law enforcement had corner offices, a good budget and decent equipment at last. Computer decks hummed on desks buried under drifts of paperwork. Full-spectrum lamps sat on every desk. I saw a shaman with a staff made of twisted ironwood prop his boots on his desk, leaning back in his chair, his aura swirling red-orange. Three ceremonials clustered at the water cooler, laughing about something. All three of them wore sidearms. police-issue plas guns, and long black synth wool coats, their accreditation tattoos shifting on their cheeks. The air resonated with power. My rings sparked again, heads turned as I followed Gabe. They weren't stupid and head-dead like normals. Even if they couldn't name what it was, they could see the twisting black diamond patterns staining my aura like geometric flames. Part demon. Unique, even among scions. I could have done without the honor. We reached Gabe's cubicle and she dropped into her cushioned ergonomic chair. She pointed at the two folding chairs on the other side of her desk.
Take a load off.
Her mouth turned into a hard line. The expression didn't do anything for her pretty face, but it would take a lot more than that to make Gabe look ugly.
You want some coffee?
Nah.
Jace?
Chango, I need a beer.
He shook his head, leaning his staff against the cubicle wall.
But, no. What the hell's going on, Spooky?
I've got a case. I need you, Danny.
Now I wasn't just uneasy. I was heading into full-blown alarmed.
What for?
I was curious, too. It wasn't like her to pussyfoot. She pushed the file toward me. There were only one or two clear spots, the rest of the desk taken up with paperwork, a nice custom Pentath computer deck, an inlaid wood box that probably held a mismatched double set of tarot cards. Gabe was secondarily talented as a tarot witch. An inbox buried under more paper, and two dusty, full bottles of brandy perched precariously near the edge. I scooped up the file.
You're a real lady of mystery, aren't you?
Flipped it open, the smooth manila giving under my black-painted nails. My back wasn't crawling with goose flesh. For some reason, my new demon body didn't have the reflex. But the sensation of prickling on my skin still remained. A human sensation I would have been glad for if it hadn't been so creepy. To feel goosebumps rising under your skin, but unable to press through to the surface, is weird. Like a phantom limb complete with ghost pain and a reflexive shudder. There were homicide lays photos.
Of course. Gabe is a necromance. What else?
The first photo was of a man. Or I assumed it was a man once I took a closer look at the shape.
Anubis.
The shapes snapped into a horrible picture behind my eyes. The worst part wasn't the loops of intestine or the pool of blood. The worst part was one outflung hand, unwounded, the fingers clutching air. The arm was a mess of meat, flayed off the glaring white bone.
Gods above, when was this?
4 months ago. Keep going.
Jace shifted slightly. He knew better than to ask. I'd give him the file when I was good and done. I flipped through a coroner's report, a standard parapsych incident report, the homicide report, neatly lays printed. No real leads, nothing much of interest except the savagery. Finally, I looked up at Gabe.
Well?
She pushed another file across her desk. With a sinking heart, I handed the first one to Jace and took the second. Gabe's eyes were dead level and gave nothing away.
This one's about 8 weeks old.
Damn!
For someone who had seen the type of carnage Jace Monroe had, it was almost a compliment. I flipped open the second file.
Fuck.
Paper stirred uneasily on her desk, stroked into motion by the tension in the air. This one was even worse if it were possible. The body lay exposed and raw, spread-eagled on what appeared to be a cement floor.
Look past the body.
It was hard, but I did. I saw the blurred edges of a chalk diagram right at the very margin of the photo. I flipped to the next one. The photographer had pulled back and I could see the chalk lines clearly. It was a double circle, inscribed with fluid, spiky runes that twisted from one form to another even as I watched. Even through the lays photo, they seemed to hum with malignant force. They weren't symbols I knew.
That's not from the Nine Canons.
My skin seemed to roughen with goose flesh again. I was secondarily talented as a rune witch, and the runes that made up the acceptable and studied branches of rune magic were mostly instantly recognizable to me. Most scions have a good working knowledge of the canons, since runes have been used since before the Awakening. when psionic and magical power began to be a lot more reliable and a lot stronger in certain talented humans. A rune used for so many years, for so many scions, is a good shortcut when you need a quick and dirty spell effect. Not to mention the major works of magic that required perfect performance of drawing, defining, naming, and charging runes. I reached up with my aching right hand and touched my left shoulder, massaging at the constant cold ache of the demon glyph through my shirt.
Looks like ceremonial work. The double circle in runes.
My eyes moved over the picture. A pile of something wrinkled laid off to one side.
Is that what I think? Oh, don't tell me it is. The fucker flayed her.
Gabe pushed another file at me. My gorge rose. I squeezed it back down.
I don't throw up. I hate throwing up.
I was grateful that 30 years of that habit was hard to break. I scanned the remainder of the second file and handed it to Jace. Then I took the third one.
This one was last night. Brace yourself, Danny.
I opened the file and felt all the blood drain from my face. Gabe watched me, dry-eyed and fierce. Her tension stirred the dust in her office, made it swirl in graceful patterns in the climate-controlled air. This keyed up, with the sharp, powerful scent of power on her. She smelled like pepper and musk. It wasn't so bad. Not like the usual human stink. I'd toyed with the idea of becoming a tester to keep my hand in. Since I could now smell power and psionic talent instead of just seeing and feeling it with human senses, that sort of work wouldn't give me an adrenaline jag and keep me from thinking. So the application papers still lay on top of my laser printer, half finished.
It can't be.
I turned to the coroner's report. There it was in black and white. The name of the victim who had been dismembered in the middle of a circle. Bones and gristle and muscle torn into unrecognizable shapes. A murder of exceeding savagery. All the more chilling because it was done to a scion like me. However shattered and wrecked the body was, there was just enough of her face for me to recognize.
Christabel Moorcock.
A necromance.
Like me? Sekhmet Sias. This is...
Does it look familiar, Danny? Your way into scholarship these days can't drag your nose out of books when you're not trying to kill yourself with bounties. Does it look like anything you've read about? Seen before?
Gabe's eyebrows drew together, her mouth tight. She pulled out another cigarette and tucked it behind her ear. The slight smell of dry synth hash mixing with the aroma of the citronelle shampoo she used. I stared at the picture, my eyes heavy and grainy.
No, I've never seen anything like this. I've been studying demons, old legends, magi stuff, when I'm not working bounties.
I tore my eyes away from the pitiless image.
But that's not why you called me down here.
We've got Christabel down in the morgue. I need you to bring her out so I can question her.
Jace was completely still beside me. On any other day, I might have found that funny or touching. I swallowed bitterness, rubbed at my left shoulder as if trying to scrub the scar away with my shirt.
Gabe.
There wasn't much on Earth that could hurt me these days. Not since Jaff had changed me. Changed, gene-spliced, molded into something new. But my heart was still human. It pounded under a tough, flexible cage of ribs, my pulse thready in my wrists and throat, pounding so hard I felt a little faint.
I know it's hard for you, since Rio. Please, Danny, I can't do it. I've tried. There's just not enough body or some kind of wall, some barrier. I can't do it. You can. Please.
I stared at the photo. I hadn't gone into death for 10 months. Not since Nuevo Rio, hunched on a wide, white blazing stone plaza running with sunlight, sobbing as I prayed. I remembered cinnamon smoke drifting in the air as the demon's body in my arms crumbled bit by bit. That was a memory I usually kept to torment myself during long, slow daylight while I tried to sleep. I shoved it away, shut my eyes, opened them again. Shapes jumbled in front of me, my vision blurring. My gods still accepted my offerings, but I had not gone into his halls.
Sekhmet Sias, Danny, call it what it is.
My heart pounded thinly, my eyes unfocused.
You're afraid that if you go into death, Jaframel might be waiting for you.
Danny?
The concern in Jace's voice was equally amusing and touching.
Does he think I'm going to pass out? Start to scream?
Was I? I felt close. Damn close. I blinked. I was staring at the photo. Gabe was sweating now, tendrils of her sleek dark hair sticking to her forehead. The temperature in the room had gone up at least 10 degrees. The climate control would kick on soon and blow frigid air through the vents. Power blurred out from my skin. Power and heat and a smoky fragrance of demon. Tierce Jaframel had smelled like amber musk and burning cinnamon. I smelled like fresh cinnamon and a lighter musk.
Demon light. Half the power, all a nasty attitude.
I felt my chest constrict as the vision rose in front of me. Ash drifting up from the white marble. A hot breeze lifting smudges and scatters of it. Ash, and the single, restrained curve of a black urn, left as a final, cruel joke. My right hand twisted into a claw. I owed her too much to easily walk away from. Gabe was old school. She'd gone with me into hell and nearly been eviscerated on the way. She hadn't ever uttered a word of anger at my rudeness, or my distance, or about the fact that she'd almost died because of my hell-bent need for revenge on Santino, or about the fact that I held her at arm's length, refusing to talk about Rio or demons or anything else of any real importance that lay in the air between us, charged and ready to leap free.
I don't know, Gabe. Why is my voice shaking? My voice never shakes. I haven't gone there for a while.
And I missed it. I missed communing with my god, feeling ever so briefly the weight of living taken from me. I made my offerings and kept my worship, and every once in a while, when I meditated, the blue light of death would weave subtle traceries through the darkness behind my eyes, a comfort familiar from my childhood.
But still, if I went into death, what would I meet on the bridge between this world and the next? Would I see a tall, slim man in a dark coat, his golden hands clasped behind his back as he considered me, his eyes flaring first green, then going dark? Would he tell me he'd been waiting for me?
You will not leave me to wander the earth alone!
But he'd left me, burned to death, crumbled in my arms. Seeing him in death's country would make it final. Too final. Too unbearably final.
You're the best, Danny. You can even hold an apparition out of a box of cremains. You've always been the best. Please.
Gabe never begged, but her tone was dangerously close. She didn't even shift in her chair, leaning forward, her elbows on her desk.
She's ready for action. And I'm wondering just how tense and staring I look.
I was bleeding heat into the air. A demon's trick. It wasn't just that Gabe was asking me. I closed Christabel's file and met her eyes squarely. At least she didn't flinch. Gabe was perhaps the only person that could look me in the eyes without flinching.
She still sees me. For Gabe, I haven't changed.
I was still Danny Valentine, under the carapace of golden skin and demonic beauty. She wasn't afraid of me. Treated me no differently than she had ever since we'd become friends. For Gabe, I would always be the same person. The person she had dropped everything, leveraged her personal contacts, and haired off to Rio for. She had never even considered letting me face Santino by myself.
I would go into death just for that reason alone.
I looked away.
What else is going on, Gabe? Come clean.
Can't fool you, can I?
She shrugged, reaching again for her crumpled pack of cigarettes. She couldn't smoke in here, but she tapped the pack twice, a habitual gesture both soothing and oddly disturbing. I had never seen her this distracted.
It's not much, Danny.
If I had anything more to work with...
Give it up. The brandy bottles chattered against the desktop. My right hand ached. I wished the alcohol would do me some good. If it would have, I would have reached for it.
Moorcock was found in her apartment. I searched the place, of course, and found exactly nothing. Except this.
She held out a folded piece of pale pink linen paper. I took it. The black molecule dripped polish on my nails, reflecting stripes of fluorescent light. Actually, they looked like nails, but they were claw tips. Just another mark of how far away from human I'd been dragged. My rings shimmered. They were always awake now, not just when the atmosphere was charged. Though the air in here was heavy enough with power and tension to qualify. I was radiating, and so was she. The line of force between us was almost palpable. Jace, of course, lounged like a big blonde cat, smelling hungover and human with a soupçon of musk and male thrown in. Spiky, spicy power contained and deadly within a shaman's thorny aura. I caught a fleeting impression from the paper, a wash of terror perfumed like cloying lilacs, an impression of a woman. Necromancers are an insular community, for all that we're loners and neurotic prima donnas. We have to be a community. Even among scions, the juncture of talent and genetics that makes a necromance is unusual. I had known Christabel peripherally for most of my life. The paper was torn on one corner. I gingerly opened it as if it held a snake.
It pays to be careful.
I looked at it.
Fuck!
The handwriting was ragged. As if she'd been in a hell of a hurry. Great looping spiky letters done in dragon's blood ink. The pen had dug deep furrows in the paper, like claw marks. Black room, it said. And below, in huge, thick capitals. Remember, remember Rigor Hall. Remember Rigor Hall. Remember, remember. There was a long trailing slash at the end of the last letter, daggering downward as if she'd been dragged away while still trying to write. The lunatic mental image of my body flopping on the floor like a landed fish receded. I forced my lungs to work. The world had gone gray and dim, wavering through a sheet of frosted glass. My back hurt. Three lines of fire, another throbbing pain right in the crease of my left buttock.
No, no, I don't have those scars anymore. I don't. I don't! Fuck.
I felt like I'd been hit and lost half my air.
I know you went there. Before they had the big court case and the hegemony closed it down. Moorcock was a few years older than you. She actually testified at the inquiry.
I know. Sekhmet Sayas, Gabe, this is...
a blast from the past?
For once, Gabe's humor didn't make me feel better. Nothing would make this feel better. I realized I was rubbing my left shoulder with my injured right hand, fiercely, as if trying to scrub away the persistent ache. I stopped, dropping my hand into my lap as I examined the paper again. There was a tiny ward glyph at the top of the page, sketched hastily. It held no power. It hadn't been charged. Maybe she'd been interrupted by whatever had torn her body apart. Whatever. Whoever. Could a person do this? I'd seen some horrible things done to the human body, but this? When did she write this?
We can't tell. We had Handy Mandy try it, but she just passed out. When she came to, she said it was too thick and headed straight for a date with the bottle, hasn't sobered up since. It was on Moorcock's desk in a bedroom. She was in the living room when she was... killed. There was no sign of forced entry. Her shields were still in place, fading, but still in place, and ripped from the inside.
From the inside? So it was someone she knew?
I wanted to rub at my shoulder again, stopped myself with an effort that made my aching fingers twitch. I smelled something new on the air. Fear. A sharp, sweaty stink. As if I were tracking a bounty. Except it was my own. Gabe's eyes were darker than usual. The line between her eyebrows deepening.
We don't know, Danny.
What about the other two victims?
They're... interesting, too. The first one, Bryce Smith, was registered as normal. Except he lived in a house with some mighty fine shielding, but he had none of those damn chalk marks around his body. and the second, Yazrul, she was one of Polyamorous girls.
Gabe's mouth twisted down briefly. Mine did the same. Polyamor. The transvestite queen of the sex trade in Santiago City. It wasn't her fault. Sex witches were born sex witches, and the psionic community was too hated as a whole by normals for us to consider shunning our own. Still, I was glad I hadn't been born as one of them.
A normal, a sex witch, and a necromance. Gods.
I shook my head. A stray strand of silken ink-black hair fell in my face. I pushed it back impatiently.
We can't get anything else from the scenes. And that's when your name came up.
Lovely. The cops call me in when all else fails. Am I supposed to feel honored?
The sarcasm didn't help. I swallowed sourness again, looked down at the pale pink paper. Gabe had made no move to take it back.
Remember Rigger Hall?
The writing glared up at me, accusing. I didn't want to remember that place. I'd done everything I could to forget it, to go on with my life. I wish I could tell her I'd do this just because she asked me, but I couldn't. Nothing could induce me to even think about Rigger Hall for longer than absolutely necessary. As a matter of fact, I was eyeing the brandy, wondering how much more than two bottles it would take before the liquor would have some effect. I'd lost interest at about six last time. I suspected I couldn't drink fast enough to cloud my magi-trained, demon-enhanced memory. Not with my fucking metabolism. I opened my mouth to tell her I couldn't take the fucking case.
Spokorelli. Fuck me. You're sure?
Gabe's eyes drifted up and met mine. And for an instant, I saw through her calm. There were dark circles under her eyes, and her pale skin had a pasty tone she'd never had before. Her collarbones jutted out, and so did the cords in her neck. She was too thin, and there was something torn and frightened in her dark eyes. Something terrified and furious.
She's a psionic cop, and something has killed two scions on her watch. A normal, maybe one of the Lutters gone mad and deciding to murder instead of simply protest the existence of scions? But what normal human could do this and tear psionic shields from the inside? Is it a vendetta? Springing up rank and foul from the deep filth of the place where I'd learned just how powerless a child could be? What revenge would wait this long and be this brutal? A group working together? Or one person?
Keep them off as long as you can. I got Valentine in here right now. We're heading to the morgue. Okay, see ya.
She dropped the phone back into its cradle with excessive care.
That was the captain. The Holovids had gotten wind of this.
I winced. Then I opened my mouth to say, no, I can't do it. Find someone else. Instead, what came out was,
you weren't at Rigger Hall, Gabe.
I knew her career like I knew my own. Like I knew John Fairlane's. Necromances were rare among scions. We listened for news about one another. If Christabel Moorcock was dead, there were only three left in the city. Two of them in this very office. Of course, Gabe hadn't gone to Rigger Hall. She hadn't been poor or orphaned.
No, I went to Stryker, my mom's trust fund, you know. But Eddie went to Rigger.
Eddie, her boyfriend, the Skinlin. He'd gone with us to Nuevo Rio. Had almost lost Gabe to my quest for revenge, and been knocked around a good bit himself. And Eddie had been to Rigger, which meant he would have his own nightmares. The net of obligation closed tight around me.
Oh, fuck.
I guess we're going to the morgue. I was rewarded with a look of relief so profound that I was sure Gabe didn't know how loudly her face was speaking. Jace made no sound, but he hitched himself up to his feet, scratching at his forehead under a shelf of tawny hair. He stretched slightly, his aura touching mine. Thorn-spiked power offered in case I needed it. I pushed the touch away, but gently. He didn't sway on his feet, but he did scoop his staff up and twirl it, the small bones clicking and clacking together. The familiar sound did nothing to comfort me.
Hades, I was afraid you'd...
I won't promise anything. It's been a while. I might not be able to do it. Might need to practice before I can get back into the swing.
But I felt the tattoo shift on my face. its inked lines running under my skin, and I knew I was lying. The morgue was across the street, in the basement of a county administration building that looked as if it predated the 70 Days War. Graceless, crumbling concrete and some oddly shaped old glass windows instead of plasilica. Fine, thin clouds were beginning to blow in from the bay, and the sunlight had taken on a hazy quality. I could almost taste the barometric pressure dropping. Sudden shifts like that used to give me a headache. I breathed in the stink of Saint City and once again felt the city press against my shields like a huge animal waiting to be stroked. The security net on the morgue building let us in. The armed guard in the foyer lowered his plas cannon. Legal augments rippled and twitched under his black mirror body armor. He had a chest the size of a small barrel of reactive, and a pair of old optical augments set into his cheekbones. Mirrored lenses that looked like sunglasses until their polarized mage scan capability gave them away. The guard's lip curled behind Gabe's back as he saw us. I toyed with the idea of giving him a grin. Decided against it. Gabe wouldn't like it if I got into a scuffle. Not to mention Jace was hungover. Why make him fight? Besides, one normal with legal augments wasn't even a challenge. Not anymore. Even if I didn't have a sword. Gabe signed us in at the counter, staffed only by an AI receptionist deck and a gleaming steel humanoid casing. We were given Plasilica one-liners to smooth over our dat bands, and in we went. Necromancers don't like morgues, but they're bearable. At least inside a morgue there is cold steel and the clinical light of medical science. The aura of dispassionate research helps. Not like graveyards and funeral homes, where grief and confusion and agony and generations of pain dye the air a razor-grieving red. The holovids make it look like necromancers spend all their time illegally digging up bones in graveyards. But truth be told, that's the last place you'd look for one of us. You'd have a better chance in a hospital or a lawyer's office. Though hospitals aren't easy either. Any place soaked with pain and suffering isn't easy. Jace's hand curled around my elbow when we got to the bottom of the staircase. A warm, hard, human touch. Gabe pushed through the swinging door. We followed her. I didn't shake my arm free of Jace's touch all the way down the hall. The man was stubborn, following me on bounties and picking up after me. I didn't know what debt he thought he was paying. I didn't even know what debt I was paying on now. I had so many due. I pulled away from his hand as Gabe flashed her bag at the admin assist behind a sheet of bulletproof. The girl's throat swelled as she nodded, her pink-streaked hair sticking up in the new Gypsy Rowan fashion. She had a subvocal implant. Her fingers blurred as she tapped on a datapad. I wondered who she was talking to while she was taking dictation. We followed Gabe through the fireproof security door, and I swallowed against the sudden chemical stench.
I wish I could figure out how to quit smelling that.
Hey, Spooky, you here for the deadhead?
He was a thin geek in a lab coat, carrying a stack of paperwork. His eyes flicked past Gabe to me, and he stopped cold, unshaven face turning the color of old cottage cheese. It wasn't as satisfying as it might have been. His stringy hair was cut in the bowl shape Jasper Dex had made popular. It didn't suit him. Neither did the color of his face. His eyes came suspiciously close to bugging out. I wondered why. Working in the morgue, he probably saw his fair share of necromances between Gabe and John Fairlane. Then I remembered I was golden-skinned, with a face like a holovid model's and a share of a demon's beauty without the persistent alienness of a demon. My hair was ink black, longer than it had been, and silky, refusing to stay back unless braided tightly, sometimes not even then. I looked like a particularly good gene splice to most normals, like I'd paid a bundle to look like a holovid wet dream. The emerald in my cheek would just give normals a reason to fear me. an atavistic fear of scions in general and necromancers in particular. Silly normals sometimes mistake necromancers for death himself, loading another layer of fear onto the trepidation they feel about all scions. If they knew how unconditionally death loved his children, maybe they would fear him less. Or more. But scions were feared by normals all over the world, just because we had been born different.
Yeah, Hoffman, I'm here for the pile of meat that used to be a deadhead. This is the big gun. Dante Valentine, meet Nix Hoffman.
Charmed, I'm sure.
Miss Valentine.
Which bay's the body in, Hoff? Kane's?
Yeah, Kane's got it. He's in his office. He was doing toxicology.
The young man's eyes flittered over me. I knew what he was seeing. A particularly desirable gene-spliced woman. And wished I didn't. His pupils swelled. If I flooded the air with my scent, I could have him on his knees, begging without knowing why. Yet another side effect of whatever I was now.
Hedera.
I shut that voice away. It hurt too much to hear it. Why was Jaffra Mills the voice I used to hurt myself?
Thanks, Jerkwad.
We sailed past him.
You got yourself a reputation.
Shut up.
Oh, come on, Danny. You're too cute. Maybe we should get you one of them Oak Vegas radon outfits.
I can't raise the dead in a black leather bikini. A damnable urge to smile rose again.
A studded black leather bikini.
Pervert. Oh. The stench of human cells, dying, decaying, dead, rose up to choke me.
How did Jaffra Mills stand it?
My left shoulder suddenly burned as if something hot was pressed against it, scorching the skin, twisting. I could almost feel the scar writhing on my skin. I stopped dead. Jace nearly ran into me, stopped just in time. His power stroked me briefly, a pleasant touch that would have unloosed my knees and made my breath catch if I hadn't been struggling to make my lungs work, my skin running prickly with demon power.
Danny?
Nothing. These flashes of heat are getting more and more pronounced lately. I wonder if I'm going into demon menopause.
I had another, nastier idea.
I wonder if the flashes of heat have anything to do with the Prince of Hell.
What a nightmare-inducing thought. Assuming I could sleep, that is. I put my head down, started forward again, lengthening my stride to catch up with Gabe.
Just a thought.
What kind of thought?
The private kind, J-Man. Back off.
Fine.
He let it drop. How he managed to do that, I could never guess. It took a lot to ruffle his smooth surface. Maybe it was growing up in a mob family that did it, made him so hard and blank, impenetrable. Or maybe it was putting up with me.
Why did you hand over your family, Jace? Just give it up. People have killed to stay in families, let alone control them. You could have had everything you ever wanted. Why?
I wished I could find the words to ask him. Gabe stopped in front of another door. Her bobbed hair swung as she turned her head slightly. A quarter profile as pure as an ancient marble in a stasis-sealed museum case.
Word of the wise, Kane's a lutter.
I felt my lip curl up. A gene splice is murder, scions are aberration, Luddite text-thumping fanatic. They were everywhere these days.
Great, he's gonna love me.
Gabe opened her mouth to reply, but the frosted glass window set in the door darkened. I had to kill the sardonic smile that wanted to creep up my face. I had the distinct idea that the hinges were deliberately left dry. Come into my parlor, said the medical examiner to the hapless police detective. My right hand tightened, searching for the hilt of a sword. I actually twitched before I remembered I didn't have a katana anymore. My hand ached, one vicious cramp seeding into the bones and twisting briefly before letting go. Getting better. It used to ache all the time. Now it only ached when I wanted to reach for a hilt and found only empty air.
Gabrielle?
He was a stick-thin, elderly man. His eyes, poached blue eggs over a bloodless mouth and pale, powdery cheeks, swam behind thick, plas-reflective lenses. His lab coat was pristine. The mag tag on his pocket read R. Kane. He'd chosen a Caduceus logo on the tag. It reminded me of my own accreditation tat. A mad giggle rose up inside of me, was suppressed, and died an inglorious death as an almost burp.
And some company. How charming.
Afternoon, Dr. Kane.
Gabe's voice was deliberately non-combative, but slightly disdainful at the same time.
I presume Captain Algernon has spoken with you?
If he could have sneered, he probably would have. Instead, his eyes lingered on me. The pink dome of his scalp under a few thinning gray-white strands of combed-over hair added to the egg-like appearance of his head. No cosmetic hair implants for this gentleman. His teeth were still strong and sound, but they were terribly discolored. Shocking in this age of molecular dental repair. Like the dry hinges, his teeth were probably deliberate, too.
This is most irregular. What is that?
Dante Valentine, Dr. Kane. Dr. Kane, Dante Valentine.
Gabe moved slightly to one side, still between the doctor and me. I got the impression she was ready to jam her boot in the door if he decided to try to slam it shut.
Pleased to meet you.
I lied with a straight face, for once. His watery blue eyes narrowed behind the lenses.
What are you?
I set my shoulders. I'd been given the cold shoulder by a lot of normals. He was going to have to work a lot harder than that to irritate me.
The proper term is Hedera, Doctor. I'm a genetically altered human.
The words stuck in my throat, dry and lumpy.
Wouldn't you love to know, Doctor? I didn't ask for this to be done to me, and I have no idea what Hedera even means. The only person who could have told me is Ash in a black urn. When I'm not hallucinating his disembodied voice to flog myself with, that is. Although I suspect abomination is the term you're looking for. Let's get this over with.
Who did your gene splicing?
He licked his thin, colorless lips.
Looks like an expensive job.
Expensive? I guess you could say so. It cost me my life and someone I loved.
I felt it like a sharp pinch on already bruised flesh.
So maybe you managed to annoy me. 1 point for the Lutter Doctor.
That's none of your business. I'm here to view a body in a legitimate murder investigation. Should I come back with a court order? My voice made the glass in the door rattle slightly.
I think I'm behaving badly.
A lunatic giggle rose up again inside of me.
Why do I always have the urge to laugh at times like this?
Dr. Kane's wiry eyebrows nested in his non-existent hairline.
Of course not. I know my duty to the police department, despite their habit of sending me cadavers.
Why, Doctor? I thought it was your job to deal with cadavers.
I didn't move. My feet nailed to the floor despite Jace's sudden grip on my elbow. I hated the syrupy sweetness in my voice. It meant that I was about to say something unforgivable.
Perhaps you should retire.
Not until I'm forced to, young woman. Come inside.
He didn't look pleased, but ushered us into a small office jammed with a desk, 2 chairs, 2 antique and crooked metal file cabinets, piles of papers and files, and a thriving blue-flowered orchid on top of another file cabinet. This one wooden and glowing mellow with polish. That was interesting. Nearly as interesting was the dry erase board set on the wall across from the second door. Dr. Kane's handwriting was spidery, and it wandered inside the neatly ruled sections, keeping track of what body was in what bay and what tests needed to be done. At least, that's what I assumed the complicated numbers and letters meant. It looked like a code based on the old Cyrillic alphabet.
Now, I want this to be very clear. This is happening against my will and under my protest.
Mine too.
Gabe cast me an imploring glance. I shut up. The good doctor studied me for a long moment. I noticed he had 2 Lays pens in his breast pocket, and a capped scalpel, too. His lip curled.
The body is of a necromance. Cause of death, as nearly as we can determine, was some type of psionic assault.
That's new.
Dr. Kane noticed my sudden attention. He directed his words at me.
We can tell because of the MRI and SIGWAVE scans. Bleeding in the cortex in characteristic star patterns. It seems that just as manual strangulation leaves petechia, Psionic assault resulting in death leaves these starbursts of blood and scarring in the brain.
Thank you for that incredibly vivid mental image, Doctor.
I glanced around his office again. I smelled chemical reek, dying human cells and pipe tobacco mixed with synth hash.
So the good doc is a smoker?
Most medical personnel were. His hands didn't tremble, but they were liver-spotted and thin as spider's legs. I imagined his hands on a lace cutter.
Yes, he probably talks to the cadavers. And very patronizingly, too.
I looked up at the ceiling, where the random holes in the soundbreak tiles almost began to run together and make sense. Dust swirled in the air, forming little geometric shapes as the room heated up with four adult bodies in it, and the extra heat I was putting out. Power trembled at the outer edges of my control, straining to leap free. I invoked spread-thin control, clenching my right fist so hard I felt the claws prick my palm. It felt comfortingly like fingernails digging in as I made a fist.
What kind of psionic assault? Feeder, ceremonial, magi, what?
I am unable to determine. I was under the impression that was your job.
This he directed at me. I ignored it. Instead, I studied the dry erase board, watching the shape of the letters blur as I unfocused my eyes. With it all hazy, I could almost pretend there was a pattern there, too. If I spent a little power, I could probably decode it. My minor precognitive talent turning a randomness into a glimpse of the future. I came back to myself with a barely covered start.
I can't afford to get distracted here. No amount of precog is worth even a momentary lapse in attention.
What else can you tell me, Doctor?
Gabe was in her element. I almost forgot she was a cop. She looked like a wide-eyed med student. Kane preened under her attention. I overrode the urge to rub at my left shoulder. The mark was burning. A piercing, drilling, fiery pain I only felt rarely over the last year.
Is it just because I allowed myself to think of Jaffer Mel again? Am I thinking of him more frequently now?
As if I ever stopped thinking about him, even while I was being shot at by panicked, psychopathic bounties.
There is a high likelihood that Miss Moorcock was also sexually assaulted before she was dismembered.
Kane's poached eyes glittered.
There was tearing and severe bruising in the vaginal vault. Unfortunately, we were unable to recover any DNA evidence because of contamination by blood and foreign matter in the vagina.
My throat closed again, hot bile rising.
Why do I keep wanting to throw up?
I braced myself. Jace's thumb drifted across my elbow, a soothing touch. Too bad I wasn't soothed. Gabe waited.
There's nothing else.
I'll bet my house and the rest of Lucifer's blood money that Kane is enjoying this.
We're running toxicology screens and reanalyzing some of the forensic measurements.
Gabe fractionally raised one eyebrow.
Reanalyzing?
Either we have made an error, or whatever ripped her into pieces did it simultaneously. Her arms, her legs, her head, all at the same time, as if she was quartered. Are you familiar with quartering, Ms. Valentine?
His poached egg eyes rested on me now. His thin mouth curved into the slightest of smiles. I dropped my right hand back down to my side, both my hand and shoulder burning.
I'm somewhat a student of history, Doctor. I'm familiar with the term.
I see. Fine. Well then, shall we, Ms. Valentine?
The tiled vault of the body bay was chilly. Steam rose off my skin as soon as I stepped through the air seals into climate control. I had to spend a moment's worth of attention readjusting. My internal thermostat was set on high. I ran very warm these days, not needing a pile of blankets like I used to when I was human. That was one thing Jace had been good for during our affair, even though he ended up kicking off the covers. I supposed it was living in Rio that made him so warm. Nowadays, if he collapsed on my bed, it was because he was drunk, and he slept on top of the covers more often than not, or woke when I poked him in the ribs to haul himself down the hall to his own room. I scanned the room habitually. Nothing but the usual security net and countermeasures. The holovid capture set in strips along the ceiling to get everything in 3D. Steel lockers took up one side of the room. Tools hung neatly. Racks of equipment and scanners. My teeth ached until I made my jaw relax. The tough blue plasticine body bag lay on the stainless steel table. The shape was subtly wrong, of course. There were only parts of Christabel Moorcock left. I was alone in a morgue with a body. My skin roughened, smoothed out. All of a sudden, I was more comfortable than I'd been for almost a year. I knew how to do this. I'd been doing this most of my life.
Then what are you afraid of?
I shut that voice back up in its little black box. It hurt too much to hear the shading of male amusement. The flat, ironic tone of a demon's voice, stroking the most intimate of my thoughts. Why can't I just let the sound of his voice go? What am I afraid of?
Oh, nothing. Except for maybe finding him waiting for you on the other side of Death's Bridge, his hands clasped behind his back and that faint smile on his face.
The last time I'd brought a soul out of death like this, Jaframel had been with me, watching.
Whenever you're ready, Danny.
Gabe was speaking from the observation deck outside. This would be taped, of course, since it would be admitted into evidence as part of the investigation.
Just take it slow.
Take it slow, she says. It's not her ass on the line here.
It wasn't precisely that I was afraid. After all, I still had my tat and my emerald. My patron god still accepted my offerings. I missed the touch of my god. Missed the absolute certainty of the thing I knew I was best at. The contact with a psychopomp is so achingly personal for a necromance. My god would not deny me.
I'm only afraid of myself.
I reached up, touched my left shoulder. The mark burned with a fierce, steady ache now. As painful as it was, I welcomed it. It had burned like that when Jaframel was alive, as if a live brand was resting on my skin. I had never thought nerve-scorching pain could be comforting. The mark would turn ice-cold soon enough, as whatever made it heat up faded, and I would be left with a reminder that the demon it named was dead.
Dead, maybe. Forgotten? No. And Lucifer?
I didn't want to think about the Prince of Hell. I had no sword, but my right-hand knife was good steel, and I held it loosely. Two glassed-in white candles stood on a wheeled cart between me and the body. Cool air touched my forehead, caressed my cheekbones and the shallow V of skin exposed by my shirt. My right hand cramped slightly on the knife hilt, then eased suddenly.
I have to look.
I skirted the cart and approached the table, with its plas-wrapped burden, my boots crossing on the easy-to-hose plas-lino floor. The silvery drain set below the table gave out a whiff of chlorine and decaying blood.
Danny?
You of all people should know that I can't just barge into this head first, Gabe.
Though I didn't know why. It was my usual style.
Just relax, Gabe. I need to see.
Danny!
I won't touch the body. I'm going to unzip the sheath, that's all. It will make it easier.
I heard my own voice, calmer than I really felt. I was a master at sounding like I knew what I was doing.
Easier for who?
It was a blind attempt at humor, and it failed dreadfully. I glanced up at the observation window, felt my lip curl up slightly. The mage shielding in the walls was good. I could only feel them through the window. Gabe, a cool purple bath of worry. Jace, spiky, spiced electric honey, every nerve suddenly focused on me. And Kane's dry, smooth, egg-like aura, giving nothing away. Blind, natural shielding, a disbelief so huge it could protect him from psychic assault. Some normals were like that. They literally wouldn't believe their own eyes when it came to magic.
I wonder what he thinks of Sion since he's so disbelieving. Of course, he's a Lutter. He probably thinks we should all be put in camps like the evangelicals of Gilead did during the 70 Days War. Rounded up, shot, and put in disposal units.
Lutters hated gene splicing on principle, but they hated Scions with an atavistic revulsion as irrational as it was deep. It didn't matter that we'd been born this way. According to the Lutters, we were abominations and all deserved to die. Don't ride me, Gabe. It's not recommended.
I was not amused.
Then just get this done so you can go home and drink.
She's not amused either. Guess we're even. Like drinking will help. I can't even get drunk anymore.
My fingers closed around the cold zipper.
At least they put the parts where they're supposed to be.
I wondered what was missing. I hadn't looked at the preliminary report yet.
Oh.
The stink of death belched up, assaulting my sensitive nose. Sensory acuity was a curse sometimes.
No wonder demons carry their own personal perfume around like a shield. I wish I could.
The air stirred uneasily. There was no dust here, but I felt the power in the air, my own, tremble unsteadily, like a smooth pond touched by a hover field. Not rippling, but quivering, just about to slide free of control and plunge into chaos.
Christabel. Sekhmet Sias.
I backed up. I didn't need to see more than her ruined, rotting face. I retreated to the other side of the room, swallowing hard. A snap of my fingers as I passed the steel cart lit the candles.
I used to get such a kick out of doing that. Back before Jeffermel.
Kill the lights, Gabe.
All right.
3/4 of the fluorescence went dim.
It's better lit than the warehouse had been. I wonder where Bulgarov is now. If they've run him through the courtroom and into a gas box yet? No, it's too soon. I won't need to testify. I only did the collar.
Quit dithering, Danny. The bounty's over. Focus on what's in front of you.
I held the knife up, steel glimmering, a bar between me and whatever happened next.
Here goes nothing.
Dante Valentine, accredited necromance, performing an apparition on the body of Christabel Moorcock, also accredited necromance. And I hope like hell she has something to tell us.
Got it. Whenever you're ready.
I closed my eyes. I had no more time to screw around. It was easy. Too easy. I dropped below conscious thought into the blue glow of whatever juncture of talent and genetics allowed me to see the dead. I wasn't touching the body. I couldn't stand the thought of resting my hand on that plastic. So I expected there to be a time lag, some difficulty, maybe a barrier between me and the blue crystal walls of Death's antechamber. I was wrong.
Oh, gods, it feels good.
My head tipped back, my loose, long hair streaming on a not-quite wind.
Agara tetara eidoi enolos sempris queris tecos mel.
Then it swallowed me whole.